No? Okay. Open up your Bible to Psalm 23. It's kind of cool. My pastor would tell me to do something, I'd do it. He said one of the first psalms that he remembered was Psalms 23. And he said you should remember that. So let's look at Psalms 23. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now, that being said, in dealing with faith, we need to know with whom it is we are dealing with. It is not enough to know about him. We must know him. Psalms 23 is the John 10:10 of the Old Testament. We must realize that it is God's will and desire to live the abundant life. One of our assignments in Bible school was to go to these different churches and watch how they do services in different places and don't say anything, but just go and sit through a service and watch and listen. So we found this one little church, and we got there, and this pastor was really excited because he was going to preach on Psalms 23. He said he finally got permission from God to preach on Psalm 23. I thought, okay, cool. And he started in on this service, and he made it sound almost like Jesus was a complete monster. And the guy literally didn't know anything about what he's talking about. He started in, the first thing he said, that started in and said, "These sheep are stupid. All they do is follow these trails around." And so these shepherds follow these sheep around, and if they get off that trail, they hit them with the staff or the rod. And he said, if they had to, they'll break a leg on them to teach them a lesson. I'm sitting there thinking, man, I've never, ever done that to a sheep. But people are sitting there listening to that. See, there's a lot of people that are really confused about God because they don't get told the truth about him. So these people are sitting there listening to Psalm 23, leaving there with the idea that Jesus was some kind of monster. That's bad. When you're dealing with faith, and the Bible tells us that the just shall live by faith, that's us, and actually, there is a law of faith, and that's one of the things that we're supposed to watch for. When we're dealing with faith, we have to know who it is we're dealing with. Now, if you came out of an atmosphere where you were taught that maybe Jesus might break your leg to teach you a lesson, how much confidence are you going to have in him? Yeah, you may go into your prayer session kind of doubtful and kind of fearful, and certainly not with any boldness, because you don't have that confidence in Jesus. See, when you have confidence in the goodness and mercy of God, it makes prayer a lot easier, and it makes your boldness a lot more. You have a lot more boldness to go into his presence and talk to him. You're not afraid that you're making some mistake. You know that you're under the blood of Jesus. Amen? Verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. This is one of the Jehovah titles. Jehovah Roi. See, God is not his name. That's what he is. And there's a lot of descriptive titles to him. This is just one of them. Jehovah Roi. Most of God's names describe him. Whatever you need God to be, you can find a name for that. You need him to be your redeemer, you have that. You need him to be your banner, your shield, he has a name for that. Right here, he describes himself as Jehovah Roi. I shall not want. The Lord shall provide. The doctrine of supplying lawful wants as well as needs is taught in both testaments. There's a bad teaching out there that says God will supply your needs. He didn't say anything about his wants. That's not true. He wants you to have fun things in your life. Did you know that? Yeah. Just to clear things up, you can want something that's just fun, and it doesn't have to have any spiritual significance whatsoever. I remember one time I wanted something, and somebody said, "What's that got to do with the ministry?" I said, "It ain't got nothing to do with the ministry. It's just something I want." But see, that's the way Jesus is. He wants you to have the desires of your heart. Sometimes people think because they go into the ministry or because they get saved, they got to give up who they are. You know, God wants to use what you have to further his kingdom. You know, I know one guy, he became a Assembly of God youth pastor. And he was just struggling. And he prayed to God. He said, I've been a cowboy all my life. And God said, well, pick up your rope. So he was going down on the street. So he went down to the street corner and he was playing with this rope. And he said, this kid come riding by on his bike. He roped him and pulled him off his bike. And the kid got up and he looked kind of shocked. He said, before it was over with, he had all kinds of kids taking turns coming by him so he could rope them kids. God used what he had. He didn't tell the guy to lose what he had. He told the guy to let him use what he had. Remember Peter was on his boat and Jesus had some preaching to do and he borrowed his boat. And then after that was done, Peter got a boatload, sinking load of fish. Jesus used what Peter had. And that day, Peter was completely unsuccessful. Until Jesus got involved, he let God use what he had, and then God blessed what Peter needed. And wanted. Let's look at Psalm 34, verse 9. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. No want. See, the doctrine of no want to believers is one of the most clearest and most comprehensive declarations of Scripture. In view of the simple and complete promises, the only excuse for not having every need and want met within the bounds of Scripture is unbelief and ignorance of truth. Now, people get goofy sometimes. And they just come up with some off-the-wall stuff. I mean, they just come up with some crazy stuff that God never promised them at all. And then they wonder why God didn't meet what they wanted. Because God is not obligated to answer baloney prayers. However, if you take His word, you find something in His word that's yours, and you return it to Him, you can expect to have answers to your prayers. And as far as God is concerned, the answer to His promises are yea, and in Him, amen. But ignorance of the truth, that's a stronghold on some people's minds. And depending on how long you sit under false teaching is going to determine how strong them strongholds are. You know, there's some people that fight it constantly. You know, they may be raised up in some denominational church that just had all kinds of nonsense that they taught. And breaking them out of that sometimes is hard. I was really, really fortunate. I was raised like a coyote pup. And there was, you know, I wasn't sitting in there listening to a bunch of nonsense every Sunday of my life. That's a good thing. And it was a bad thing that I wasn't raised in church. See, it's bad that I wasn't raised in a godly manner where I was learning the word of truth, that I was learning the word of faith and learning about who Jesus was. But it's a good thing that I wasn't sitting in there learning a bunch of lies about Him and a bunch of false doctrine. So when I finally did get activated and get going, I didn't have a whole bunch of religious strongholds I had to tear down, which is a good thing. But sometimes, you know, people get told they're okay if you pour some water on their head. They're going to be okay. That water is not going to help you one bit. It might make you feel better, make you think you're doing something, but if you don't have the opportunity to ask Jesus into your heart and you confess Him to be Lord, you're toast. But when somebody sits through 30, 40, 50 years of that teaching and you start talking to them about salvation and how they need to believe in their heart that God raised Jesus back to life and confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord, they get mad. Why? Because they have a stronghold. There's all kinds of different religious strongholds that people got to deal with. But the Word of God can break them and will. Jesus said you would know the truth and the truth would make you free. Let's look at Psalms chapter 84. Psalms chapter 84 verse 11 said, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusts in Thee." No good thing will He withhold from you. See, the Bible tells us that God has freely given us all things with Christ Jesus. You know, unfortunately, there's people that are struggling every day, hoping that God gives them enough to survive on, gives them enough to pay their bills and feed their family, and they'll be okay. And then they asked for that too. They said, we don't need much, we just want enough to feed our family and pay the bills. You know, that's really, really selfish. That's very, very selfish. Because God wants you to be oversupplied so that you can go out into the world and meet somebody else's needs. See, it's important to do that. People don't understand just how important it is for the church to go out into the community and meet the needs of others. One thing it does, it helps people. Another thing it does, it brings glory to God. And another thing it does, it opens their hearts. When you go help somebody, they start asking questions. They say, well, nobody else ever helped me. And here you are. But God said, go into all the world. All the world. That means everybody qualifies for our help. Now, I know that there's some hustlers and there's some cons out there, but we just got to sort through those once in a while. But there's some people that really do need help. And he didn't say, okay, I want the Baptists to go help the Baptists. I want the Methodists to go help the Methodists. I want the non-denominationals to go help the non-denominationals. So you go help who's in need. Amen. See, right here in Psalms 84, we have it stated again that God will supply wants as well as needs, every good thing and no evil thing. See, he's not going to give you the desires of your heart if it's an evil desire. He's not going to do that. He's not. If it's in line with Scripture and if it's in line with truth and it's a good thing, yes, you can count on it. But people sometimes just go crazy and ask for all kinds of stuff. And there's also people running around saying that you get what you pray for. No, you don't. If everybody got what they prayed for, everybody would have an oil well in their backyard. They'd be driving a Cadillac. But that's not the reality of it, is it? The Bible tells us that you get what you believe you receive. Now, that puts it over onto us. That gives us some responsibility. We're going to have to believe we receive. And this is going to be what you may call blind faith. You know, well, the Bible does tell us that we don't walk by sight. See, this is where you believe you received it, whether you see it, whether you can feel it, hear it, smell it, taste it. None of your five natural senses matter anymore. You believe you received it. Now you watch over your prayers, you watch over your word, and you keep your confession the same until that thing can materialize. Too many times, and I ran into it in the Word of Faith circles too. It's everywhere. I didn't get it. I said, what do you mean you didn't get it? I said, I didn't feel nothing. You're not going to get it. Then just go somewhere else. See, you got to believe whether you have physical proof of it or not. When you can get across that threshold, you got it. Regardless of what it looks like, sounds like, anything, you believe you receive it, you will have it. You will have it manifest in your life. When you believe you receive it, you already have it. It'll materialize. Sometimes fast, sometimes not so fast. But the Bible does tell us to let patience have her perfect work. That'll be a lot easier for us when we understand the goodness of God and that He's given us all these promises, that His answers are yes. When we're in line with Scripture, the answer is yes. It's not no, it's not maybe, it's yes. When you follow the Word of God and you use the name of Jesus, the answer is yes to your prayer. Just look at Matthew chapter 7. One of the neat things when we're dealing with faith and prayer, we need to understand, when you are born again and you use the name of Jesus, you have what you might call a red line straight to God. And He always, 100% of the time, hears every one of your prayers. When you use the name of Jesus, He hears your prayers. And when you follow the Word of God, the answer is yes. See, sometimes I've heard people tell me, say, God doesn't hear me. He doesn't hear my prayers. And, you know, it's kind of a combination of people trying to mix the Word of God with the flesh of life and try to get positive results, and they don't get the results that they desire, but they don't leave their fleshly desires and they don't get answers from God, then pretty soon they give up. I've seen that a lot of times. I don't know how many people tell me that God doesn't hear them. Well, He does. He does hear you, but He's just not obligated to give you fleshly desires. Which is usually where the switch gets turned off when we have that conversation. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 says, ask, shall be given you. Seek, ye shall find. Knock, shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks, receives. He that seeks finds, and to him that knocks, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if he, his son, ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? See, this gives us some insight into the infinite fatherhood of God and the certainty of answered prayer. Number one, He said, ask. See, the idea here is to demand something. You're not demanding God. You're making a demand on the covenant. You're demanding something that is due one because of family. Not because you deserve it, but you're born into it. You have redemptive rights. See, it's God's will that we ask and get what we want, That's why he gave us directions to prayer. See, you do have a very great inheritance. Not because you deserve it, but because you was born into it. Amen? You know, how many of you have known a rotten rich kid? And they never done a day's work in their life. They never, and maybe they were just rotten all the time. But they were loaded. They had an inheritance, didn't they? They didn't deserve it, did they? But they were born into it. Guess what? You got born into a very big inheritance. Didn't deserve it, but because of the blood of Jesus, it's yours. That, you know, you can go, you can tell God, you can be praying to God and say, you know I don't deserve this, but Jesus died on the cross for me to have it. And you've given it to me. It's mine. I receive it. Amen. Now you're depending 100% on Jesus' righteousness. Verse 8 says, everyone. Everyone. There's no exception. There's no exception to the rule for anyone. If there is, it is because of the failure to ask in faith, nothing wavered. Everyone gets everything they ask for in faith, providing it's a good thing. Amen? Now don't try to twist things around and try to make a bad thing a good thing. It's not going to work that way. You can tell God that this thing is good all you want, but if it's not good, it's not good. I don't care how many times you try to tell him, it ain't good. See, the only reason for unanswered prayer to a Christian is unbelief. And unbelief is caused by wrong teaching. The promises are unlimited. So if there is a limitation in answer, there is a limitation of faith, not of God's will or power. See, a lot of times we get told things about God that are not true. But then when we run into the truth, then we have a choice to repent or continue on with the way we've been going. See, Paul, he believed one way about God for a long time. And then he had an encounter with Jesus, and he looked up and he said, who are you, Lord? You're Lord. What happened? He repented. He was going down that road thinking one thing about God, and he knew a lot about that system. He had his whole life wrapped up in that system. He had climbed the ladder up really, really high. The way I understand it, he was sitting under the feet of Caiaphas, the high priest. He was being trained to be the high priest. That's pretty high. He had a lot invested in that system. But then he ran into the truth and he just repented. He turned around. He was thinking one way one minute, and he started thinking another way the next minute. That's what repent means. That means to turn around. We just turn around. We learn something different. We turn around. It means a 180. You're about face. Boom. You're going one way, you turn around. Boom. Repent. One of the things that drives me crazy is these people want to get born again, and somebody will take them into a room and tell them you got to repent. So then they spend 3 or 4 hours talking about their sins. If that was what it was, they would have took us through the motions of that when Paul met Jesus. But that wasn't what it was. He repented and he was converted. Verse 10 says, how much more? How much more? If wicked fathers see to it that their children get what they ask, and that they are fed, clothed, happy, prosperous, healed, protected, and free from suffering to the fullest extent of their ability, how much more will the Heavenly Father do for His children that ask Him? One of the weird things I've noticed is people sometimes have a hard time not getting the same picture. See, they'll vision God as being nearly the same as their earthly father. Now, if you had a really good, cool dad, sometimes it's easier for you to believe God, it seems like. But sometimes when people have, there's been some really evil fathers on this earth. Sometimes when people come out of that situation, they have a really, really hard time getting a good vision of God. And it takes a little while for them to look in the Word and meditate on that and finally find a good understanding of God. You know, they have a hard time getting a picture of a loving Father. But that's one of the reasons God told us to meditate on His Word, so we can become fully persuaded. It'll change us from the inside out. Next thing I want to look at, the good things. See, if these earthly fathers make sure their children have good things, how about God? See, if deliverance from dangers, preservation from evil, bodily healing and health, material prosperity, or any answer to prayer is a good thing, then ask to receive it and no longer question the will of God in that matter. It's already His will, or this teaching is false. See, in my Bible, it's in red. That means Jesus said it. He wants you to have good things. He wants you to have good material things. If it was just good spiritual things, He would have said, I want you to have good spiritual things, and you forget about the material things. That's not what He said, though, is it? He wants you to eat of the fat of the land. He wants you to live an abundant life. He wants you to live a healthy, whole life. But then again, if we don't know the truth, then the truth can't make us free now, can it? Jesus said you would know the truth and the truth would make you free. See, once you know the truth, it may take a little bit for the truth to get through a religious stronghold. You know, somebody might have it wrapped in their mind that we're not going to get healed until we get to heaven. It may take them a little while to get that stronghold tore down. Once they finally learn the truth and it gets in them, nobody's going to take it away from them. They have it. It's theirs. And they'll walk in that freedom. Then they'll be able to receive healing. Don't get too frustrated with people when you run into them. And, you know, maybe you pray for them. And it seems like they're struggling because we don't know what everybody's been taught. We don't know where everybody is spiritually. We don't know what they really truly believe. They may be sitting in church for 30 years and we really don't honestly know exactly what they believe. They may shout hallelujah every Sunday. Then they may think that God's a tyrant and you're going to have to struggle through this life until Jesus comes and gets you. You'd really be shocked to know what people truly believe, but without locating them to find out where they're at, it's going to be really, really hard to pray for them. That's why it's important to visit with them a little bit. You know, when they come up and ask you for prayer, it's important to talk to them a little bit, listen to them, see where they're coming from, see if they got an angle, see if they got a scripture they're standing on. And if you're not picking up anything, then try to float some scripture to them and try to encourage them and give them something that they can latch on to. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for everything you do for us. Father, we praise you in Jesus' name. We thank you for taking care of us. We thank you for blessing us. We thank you for the Word of God and the truth in Jesus. Amen.